Father, we honor you tonight. We bless you and love you. We love you because you first loved us. And oh, Father, that love amazes us. That love leaves us in awe of you. To be loved unconditionally, there's no higher love. Not even a mother's love is higher than your love, Father God. Your unconditional love. And so we bless you tonight, honoring you, reverencing you. Father, just revering your name, magnifying you, giving you glory and honor, praise, because you are so good. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for your mighty word. Thank you, Father, for speaking unto your people. Thank you that your word accomplishes every purpose for which you intend and send it. Thank you, Father God, your word is quick. It's sharp. It's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Your word is alive. It's piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Father, we rely on your holy word tonight because we know your word is dripping with anointing. Your word is filled with dynamite power. And when we apply faith, faith is the spark to that power in your word. Father, everything changes around us. So your word's got our answer. Whatever the question, whatever the problem tonight, whatever the pain, whatever the misery, your word is the answer on tonight. And so we look to you. We're not going to sit idly by tonight and just listen to the word. We're going to actively listen, applying our faith, Father God, and obeying you where you speak to us. And then thank you for the good Holy Ghost. He's our helper. He's our standby, our advocate. Father God, he's a comforter. He's a counselor. He's a guide. Hallelujah. He leads us, helps us in every endeavor. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the good Holy Ghost tonight. Thank you. You didn't leave us as orphans. You sent the Holy Spirit, Father God, to help us, to be with us, to strengthen us, to keep us. And so we bless you and honor you for feeding your people. Thank you for continuing to bless Pastor Mrs. Hagen, all that are with them in Oklahoma City, all who are on the road traveling. Keep them all safe. We'll give you all the glory for everything you have wrought in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, tell one more person you're glad to see him. Praise God. And you can have your seat. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Amen. Amen. Good to see so many people out on Mother's Day. Praise God. All of us, I'm sure, you know, where would we be without our moms? My sweet mom is in heaven. She went to heaven in 1984. But so many lessons I learned in my life being a man. I learned so many of them from my mom. I thank God for her. I remember one time my mom, she loved to sew. She could sew anything. And she was just an amazing, just full of creativity, this amazing seamstress. My mom could see something and then go and make it. I remember my father was in the military, so we lived all over the world. We lived in Holland, we lived in France, we lived in Japan. And in Japan, my sister Olga, she wanted to join a Girl Scout troop. But by the time my mom, I guess we were just getting there or something logistically happened. Anyway, my mom signed her up late, and by that time there weren't any more scarves. I guess they had a special scarf that the Girl Scouts wore. Not the Girl Scouts, I think Olga would say the Brownies. It was the Brownies. Okay, and so you had to have this orange special scarf with all kinds of embroidery or whatever in there. And so when my mom went to sign her up, the lady said, you know, we're sorry, you can't sign your daughter up because we're completely out of these scarves. And these scarves are required for membership and your daughter can't join. And so my mom looked at the scarf. She looked at what was embroidered on the scarf. And she went home. She went and got a piece of orange material, got the colors of the stuff that was embroidered. She sewed it just out of memory. Put it around my sister's neck and they showed up at the Brownie meeting. And the lady said, where'd you get that scarf? We were out of those scarves. How did you get that scarf? My mom told her, you know, she sewed it. And she was amazing. You know, I remember another time when I was in high school and in the 11th grade, I was on the baseball team. And prom night, we were playing. I'm from Jersey. We were playing out in Lehigh Valley. And I played first base, and during the game, I sprained my right wrist, and I'm left-handed, so that means I catch with my right hand, you know. And so every throw from the shortstop, you know, second base, from the outfield was just excruciating pain. I sprained it early in the game and had to play the whole game. And then we were on, since it was an away game, we were so, you know, it took a long time to get back. And then getting home, getting cleaned up, it's prom night. And so my tuxedo was in the at home. And all, you know, my mom had picked it up for me. And so I rushed in from baseball practice, went right to the shower. And I never forget, my mama said, she said, your tuxedo's ready. And I'm in the bathroom putting on my shirt and the clip-on bow tie and all that, the vest. And I put the pants on, and they came just below my knees like a knicker length. I hollered from the bathroom, Mom! She ran up the steps. She said, what's the matter? I said, Mom, these pants are knickers. And I already had to drive to Willingboro. I had to drive from Trenton to Willingboro to pick up my day. I was just way behind the gun. And my mom said, get those pants off. And I thought, I can't go to the prom. It's over. It's all over. So when she told me to take the pants off, I thought, well, you know, it's all over, you know. And but she went back in her room, and I heard that sewing machine fire up. And my mom got those stitches out, and she somehow knew exactly what my size was. And she re-hemmed those pants in about 5 minutes. She threw them back in the bathroom and said, put these on. I said, but they're perfect. My mama learned so many lessons from my mom. I've told this one before, but I'll tell this last one. My mom, she had gotten sick in the latter part of her life. And because my dad had been in the military, well, she always received medical benefits from Army hospitals. And her doctor had referred her to Walter Reed. I don't know where the president goes now, but at that time, the president was taken care of at Walter Reed Army Hospital, Washington, D.C. And so my mom was flown there to Walter Reed. And then an ambulance met the plane she was on and escorted her to the Walter Reed Army Hospital. And there's lots of dignitaries, and as I say, that go to that hospital, at least at that time. And so anyway, my mom's ambulance pulled up, and we're racing by car. You know, she flew there, and we're racing by car trying to get down there. And when we finally got to her, she told us this story. And she said, when the ambulance pulled up, she said there were all kinds of security people and soldiers, and they were all standing. They were saluting me. And she said, they were calling me queen, some kind of queen. She said, I was a little groggy, you know, from the flight. And she said, they were calling me some kind of queen, and they were saluting. She said, I was saluting back. And she said, wow, this hospital's amazing. You know, they meet you here and they just salute you like that. What a hospital, you know. She had never been there. And then she said, one of the soldiers, you know, broke with what would be protocol. And he looked at my mom closely and he said, fool, this ain't the queen. We got the wrong ambulance. And it was a queen of one of the African countries had gotten sick at the same time. And her ambulance was somewhere in the vicinity. They got the wrong ambulance. And my mom said, I was queen for a minute. My sweet mom. Well, tonight I'm going to share from three different perspectives of different women in the Bible and some things that we can learn, some examples that we should learn from, bad examples that we should learn from. Maybe I could say it that way, okay? And the first one is found in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. This is, of course, if you go into Genesis 19, you might recognize this is going to be about Lot's wife. And Lot was Abraham's nephew. And when Lot and Abraham divided up the land, God prospered them so much. And Lot went to an area called Sodom and Gomorrah, very ungodly, immoral. God brought judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, and just before he did, he instructed the angels before they destroyed the town to make sure Lot and his family were safely out. And so you see that at verse 17, and then verse 22, he tells Lot, hurry, don't look back, I can't do anything till you get to where you're going. And finally, let's read verse 23 through 26. So we're in Genesis 19, verse 23, we're going to read to 26. It says, the sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. And then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of those cities and what grew on the ground. But his wife, from behind him, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. That's a very famous story in Scripture, how Lot's wife, looking back, became a pillar of salt. Here's my first point. Don't look back. Don't look back. If you look up there at verse 17, the angel's instructions to Lot and his wife and his family, when they had brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you. Do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away." The angel's instructions were clear. Don't look back. There's nothing to look back on. And sometimes, my brother and sister, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves looking back, and sometimes looking back can get us in trouble. And you remember Israel, they tried to look back. After God tried to deliver them from Egypt, they looked back on their captivity. They had a different perspective. They said that once things got, they had to walk by faith. When they saw they were going to have to walk by faith, not by sight, then they said, they looked back on their slavery, and they said, "Boy, we remember the melons, the cucumbers, the leeks. We remember all of those things wonderfully. It wasn't so bad." You know, for 430 years, they cried out to God for deliverance. And then when God delivered them, they started looking back. But let me just tell you, there's nothing for you in the direction you came from before you met Christ. There's no sense looking back. There ain't nothing back there for you. You might as well keep going in the right direction. There is nothing back there for you. So you might as well stay on course. I said, amen. Every now and then the enemy may try to tempt someone trying to get you to look back. Sometimes I've heard Christians say, "You know, I was better off in the world." I've heard Christians say, but you know what? You've got a temporary lapse in judgment when you say that. You've got a temporary lapse in your memory. Because there ain't no way you were better off under Satan's kingdom. There ain't no way you were better off back in the world. There ain't no way, babe, you were better off smoking and drinking and carousing and running around. You weren't better off doing that. Jesus saved you from that. He lifted you up from that. He delivered you from that. He set you free from that. You were taking drugs. You were falling over drunk. You were doing all kind of foolishness. But then came the day when the hand of the Lord delivered you from that. The hand of the Lord set you free. And I don't care how bad it may be tonight, don't you let anything or anybody turn you around. There ain't nothing back there. And whatever direction you look, don't look back. They told Lot and his family, do not look back. There's nothing back here in Sodom for you. Looking back implies a longing for what was back there. And so don't, first message tonight, do not look back. Look over at the book of Philippians real quick with me, talking about that point. Don't look back. Don't look back. There's nothing back there for you. So don't look back. In Philippians chapter 3 at verse 13, Paul wrote this, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold on it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Sometimes what tempts Christians to look back is skeletons from the past. And don't let the enemy do that to you. Don't let the enemy bring a skeleton out of the closet and chase you around with a skeleton trying to make you think of your past. Maybe you made mistakes in the past. First of all, I don't think there's anybody in here who could be exempt from saying, "I've never made a mistake." That's right. We'd all be in the same boat in that capacity, unless you're the Lord Jesus. We didn't all maybe say, but the thing is, don't let the enemy get you to dwell on that. Don't let the enemy bring you a picture of your past. Don't let him. Sometimes the enemy will take a photo in the realm of the spirit and show you something from your past. Don't be looking at that. Don't be staring at that. You remind the devil of his future. You remind him that you're bought with a price. You're covered in the blood, that the Lord, the Father sees you through the blood. Amen. The Bible says there's therefore now, when? Now, when? Now, no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. And so don't let the devil put that little trick on you where he tries to get you to look back on something you did. Hey, if you repented of it, then it's under the blood of Jesus. Then it's forgotten. It's washed away. Then it's been remitted. And it's completely under the blood. Stop fishing for it. I said, I wish I had one amen there. Too many Christian folks fishing in a pond of stuff from the past. It's a trick of the enemy. Don't look back. Don't look. There's nothing back there for you. Don't look back. Paul said, look, I press forward. I press forward for the goal, for the prize. He said, I may not have achieved it yet, but I forget what lies behind me and I'm reaching forward to what lies ahead. And you can never access the bright future God has for you if you're looking in the rearview mirror. Whatever went wrong, if you've repented, leave it back there. Let it go. Amen. I said, there's therefore now. And sometimes people on days like today, it's understandable. Sometimes people have big problems with holidays and special days because memories and thoughts. Don't let the devil plague you with thoughts. And let me tell you, if something, and sometimes people say, well, like you might say, well, my mama's not here either. My mama, I wish my mom were here. I don't want to face today because my mama's not here. Well, first of all, you're going to see your mama again. So stop acting like you're not going to see your mama again. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Jesus is planning a great family reunion. Amen. And so don't let days like today keep you away and beat you down. Hey, come on out in the sunlight. Come on out in the sunlight of fellowship with your brothers and sisters and get the strength and encouragement of the word and fellowship and being around other people. Amen. And the Bible said this, look, if my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. But if your mama's not on this earth or somebody you love is not on this, let me tell you this, the Lord, he'll be your mama to you. He'll be a father to you. I said, amen. If you'll look to him, he'll be that comforting presence. Not only that, God will use you to be a mama, a help to somebody else. You may be missing your mom tonight, but where you may be missing it is God may want you to reach out to people who are just around you. Somebody needs encouragement. Somebody needs strength. Somebody needs a mama's hand. I said, amen. And if you'll reach out beyond your four walls, reach out beyond the memories of your past, reach out beyond the hurt of what you've been through, God will help you and heal you every place you hurt. I said, I wish I had one more amen. He'll help you and heal you every place you hurt. So don't go looking back. There ain't nothing back there. Don't go looking back. Don't go searching. Don't go looking back. There ain't nothing back there. Just leave the past in the past and press forward for what God has for you in the future. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so God is good, and he's a revealer of truth to those who will seek him and find him. So don't look back. The next one, listen, don't look down is my second point. First point, don't look back. But my second point here, do not look down. Don't look down. Go with me to 2 Samuel. Don't look down. Now, we just left talking about Lot's wife. Now we're talking here about David's wife. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Let's start at verse 16. 2 Samuel 6. Verse 16. You remember the story. The background is David had just been, crowned king, and God unified the kingdom, and David wanted the ark of the Lord to be brought back into the city of David, and the ark represented the presence of the Lord, and he went to get it. And verse 16 says, then it happened as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. You say, what was your second point? Don't look down. Don't look down. She had to be looking from a window down upon him. She saw him dancing before the Lord. She saw him leaping before the Lord. The Bible says she despised him in her heart. Look down at verse 20. Of 2 Samuel 6, it says, but when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants, maids, as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me above your father, above his house, to appoint me ruler over all the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord. I will be more lightly esteemed than this, and will humble myself in my own eyes, but with the maids of whom you've spoken, with them I will be distinguished. The Bible goes on to say that nothing else is heard or said about Michal after this chapter. From 2 Samuel 6, it's like she goes out. We never hear from her again. And And the thing is, she looked down on David. There he was dancing. There he was leaping. There he was praising God. And she looked down. The Bible says she despised him. She looked down on him. My first point, don't look back. My second point, don't look down. Don't look down on anybody. You may not understand their situation fully. I remember my mama taught me this lesson as well. We were out playing in the yard one day. And I don't know, we were playing baseball or football. And a bunch of the guys were over. We were all running around the yard. It's a whole swarm, a whole pack of boys. We're all playing in the yard. I remember my mama, she called me from the door. She said, "Bill, come here." And I said, "Yeah, Mom." She said, "Who is that tall, lanky boy right there, over there? Who is that?" And she was talking about my friend Snuffy. Now, Snuffy had to be about 6'6". And, I mean, he was a really tall boy. And, I mean, we had to be probably, I don't know, maybe ninth grade. Snuffy was tall. He was 6'6", just skinny as a rail and just tall. He just towered over us. We were the same age, but Snuffy was tall. And so she said, "Who is that?" She said, "Who is that, that tall, lanky young man?" And I said, "That's Snuffy." And so she said, "What's his name?" I said, "His name is Snuffy." And she said, "Boy, I'm not talking about that. What's the name his mother gave him?" I said, "Oh, Mom, his name is Clarence, but he don't go by Clarence. We all call him Snuffy. His name is Snuffy." And so she said, "Listen to me. His name is not Snuffy." And so she yelled, "Clarence." So he turned around, you know, and she said, "Come over here, young man." And so he went over to the door, and I'm thinking, "Oh, Lord, Mama, leave him alone." The man's name is Snuffy, and we always called him Snuffy because he always had a snotty nose. Whenever you saw Snuffy, his nose was jacked up. And he wasn't doing anything to clean it up. I'm telling you the truth. That's his name. That's what we call this Snuffy. You say, that was his name. He was comfortable with it. We were comfortable with it. Only person not comfortable with it was my mama. And so she called him, "Clarence, come over here." So he said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "What's your name?" I was standing over there by him because I got a kick out of it. He said, "Snuffy." She said, "Is that the name your mama gave you?" He said, "No, ma'am." She said, "Isn't your name Clarence?" He said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Do not let any of these boys call you Snuffy. Your name is Clarence." She said, "That is a nice name. Your name is not Snuffy." And she got him a tissue and had him clean his nose up. I'm glad my mama did that much, you know. I was thinking to myself, it'll be Snuffy again in about 5 minutes. But my mom, she said, "Son," she said, "your name's not Snuffy." And he always, and Snuffy, he walked, he was real tall, but he walked like this. His shoulders bowed and his head bowed. And my mama said, "Listen, Clarence," she said, "you're such a good looking young man." She said, "Lift your shoulders back." And I heard her tell him, "Lift your head up high." And she said, "I want you to be proud of your name. I want you to use the name your mama gave you. Don't let anybody call you Clarence." And he said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "You're a good-looking young man." And my mama, she called me back to the door. And she said, "Where does he live?" I said, "Well, Mom, he just lives a couple blocks over. His mom passed away years ago. And he got 5 brothers and sisters. And he's the oldest. And his dad working, doing the best he can. And they don't have no money. They're just poor." And my mama told him, she said, "If you need anything, I want you to come over here and ask for me. Anything." Then she told me, she said, "Bill, come back over here." I was like, "Oh, Mom." She said, "Don't you ever call him Snuffy again." She said, "Don't let me catch you calling him Snuffy. His name is Clarence. And I want you to call him that. I want you to let the other boys hear you call him Clarence." And she said, "It's not right to look down on people." She said, he can't help his situation. And she said, "You're not going to get anywhere looking down on him. And when you call him name like that, you're looking down on him." And I said, "Okay, Mom." And every time I saw him after that, from the first time to the last time I saw him, I called him Clarence. And he'd always say, "How's your mom?" He'd always ask me about my mom. "Is your mom okay? Tell your mom I said hi." I said, "I'll tell her, Clarence." Don't look down on people. You know, people go through things, and sometimes we always say, well, we would do this or we would do that, but sometimes you don't know how you'd respond unless you've been in somebody's shoes. And a lot of times somebody said, well, you know, Mother's Day, if somebody's sad, well, how could anybody be sad on Mother's Day? I would never be sad on Mother's Day. If my mom wasn't here, I'd never be sad. Well, you don't know that. And sometimes the way we treat other people is so important. And so she looked down on him. Don't look down on anybody. Go with me now to Acts chapter 5. Let's look at another situation. Acts chapter 5. Don't look back. That was my first point. Don't look down. That was my second point. This last point, don't look past. P-A-S-T. Don't look past. Don't look past. Here's another wife here. And thank God for all the wonderful examples of wives. I'm picking out three who had a problem here. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. Everybody say full knowledge. Yeah. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of the land? It should be noted here that Peter didn't ask for the offering. The apostles, the disciples, they never asked for an offering. They never asked anybody to give. They never asked anybody to give everything they had. If people gave, they gave voluntarily. If they gave, they made the decision how much they gave. This was all completely on Ananias and Sapphira. And the Bible says Ananias made a huge mistake here. And he kept back part of the price of the land. He was dishonest. But he was dishonest with her full knowledge. And what the word seems to be implying, she looked past what she saw him doing. She saw him about to cheat the church, about to test the Lord, about to lie to the Holy Spirit. And she knew it was wrong. And she knew what he was doing. And instead of saying, that is wrong, we cannot do that, honey. Let's not do that. She cooperated with it. With her full knowledge, she looked past what he was doing. Yes. Yes. And when you further down in the text, verse 7, after he fell dead, the Bible says, now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours. His wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes, that was the price. And then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. Immediately she fell dead and breathed her last. The young men came in and found her dead. They carried her out, buried her beside her husband. Verse 11 always cracks me up. Great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard these things. You know what I imagine? I imagine everybody showed up for church on time that next Sunday. There wasn't a penny missing out of the tithes and offerings that next Sunday. But what's your point? She looked past something that she should have dealt with. My mama used to tell me when I had a difficult situation or something I didn't want to face, she'd have this saying. I still remember it to this day. She'd say, Bill, the best way out. This was it. The best way out of your situation. The best way out is straight through. You know what she was saying? Turn and face it. Don't run from it. Don't hide it. Admit whatever it is, deal with it head on. The best way out is straight through. That also means be honest about it. I wish I had one amen in here. Face it with honesty. Face it with the courage that the Lord gives you. You've got to stand up. And sometimes you may be going through something tonight, but listen, the best way out is straight through. She looked past a glaring problem that her husband, with the idea to cheat the church and cheat God and test God and all of that, the pride that was involved and all of that. She looked past that when she should have been saying, hey, you know what? And I think when the Bible says an interval of 3 hours passed and then, you know, Peter asked her, hey, was this what you all got for the land? Is this the amount that you gave to the church? God, he was trying to give her a chance to repent. He was giving her a chance to say, you know what? We're just wrong. You know, we're just wrong as wrong can be. Now, I just repent. I just want to repent right here. He was waiting for her to say that. You know, the Bible says this, that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Aren't you glad about that? I'm so glad we don't serve a fly swatter of a heavenly Father. He's not up there saying, hey, are you anybody down? Are you having fun? Yes, Lord. Stop that. No, he's not trying to catch us. He's not trying to swat us. He's not some angry man swatting at us. You know. No, God. The Bible says he is rich in mercy. He is patient. He is kind. He is full of mercy. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. God, he loves you and I so much, but he don't want us to look past something that we know is wrong. I said, I wish I had one amen in here. And see, if there's something wrong in your life, something in there between you and the Lord, then that's going to become an idol. He's never going to be satisfied with that. The Bible said this, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so if we let something get between us and God, and we know that there's an issue that we're looking past it. We're acting like everything's okay. And the thing about the Lord is he will always, even then, he blesses us as far as he can. But there comes a limit to how far he can bless us when we look past, we look in the mirror, we look at our lives, we see something's wrong and we look past it. And we keep on walking like there's nothing wrong. And tonight, if there's something between you and the Lord, there's something not right with your walk with Christ, tonight is the time to make that right. Don't just look past it. Don't just walk out the same way you came in and you know something's wrong. And sometimes people know, they know what their own problem is. They know what their own problem is. They're trying to, well, is there any, I don't want to deal with it. No. Look, you got to deal with the problem. Deal with the issue. Listen, just humble yourself and be honest, because the Bible says this, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. 2 Peter chapter 5. Therefore, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. He loves you, and he cares for you and I, but we have to be honest. And if something's not right tonight, you got to be honest. Don't just sit on it acting like, no, I'm straight. Everything good, I'm straight. Come on now. God can see your heart. And with Sapphira, the Lord was trying to get her attention. Come on now. Just tell it and just repent. I'll forgive you. We'll fix it. Nah, I'm straight. Nah, that was it. And you can be like that tonight. But then later tonight, you'll be calling on God saying, God, help me do this. God, I need your grace for this. I need your grace for that. Listen, you want God's help. Be honest with him tonight. Admit it where you're wrong. Don't look back. Don't look down. Don't look past. Let's pray. Father, we trust you tonight. We thank you for your goodness, your grace in all of our lives. And what a wonderful day that this has been. We just thank you for your goodness to all of us on a daily basis. Thank you, Father God, for moms in this place. Thank you for our moms in particular. And I know we all could say we've learned things from our mom. Father God, we pray you'll bless your people tonight. Speak to hearts in here. Help your people. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, I want to give you an opportunity. If there's something you need to make right with God, especially if you're not living right, then you already know that. Don't look past that. God can help you tonight. He will help you. He will rise to help you with his power and grace. Let me see your hand in here. You need prayer for anything that you say, hey, I know I'm not living right. I want to make it right with the Lord tonight. I want to get something right with God tonight. Just lift your hand. I'll pray for you. You might be a Christian already, and maybe you're not living the way you should. And if that's you, lift your hand. We'll pray for you. I want our prayer team to come on forward at this time. If you're here, maybe you've never received Christ into your life. Hey, tonight's your night. Lift your hand. I'll pray for you. You can receive Christ if you've never received him, or if you have and you're in some type of backslidden state. Whatever it is, God can help you tonight. Look, God's reaching out to you. And if you'll reach back and be honest with him, then he'll help you. We have our men down here and our ladies down here, and you know how we do it by now. If you need help, come on forward. If you want prayer for anything at all, come on forward. These anointed brothers and sisters will help you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. All right, my friend, listen, that's it for tonight. Did we mention, did we have visitors tonight? Did we have some? Okay, if our visitor would go with our connection team member, we're going to give you the great gift that Pastor Tad talked to you about. So if you would go with that person right now. Okay, let's give our visitors a big hand. Appreciate them. Also, for some of you who only come to Sunday night, you're working or something Sunday morning, you don't get a chance to see all the things that happen on Sunday morning, we also presented Mrs. Hagen with a birthday card and that check that all of us gave to and contributed to. Many gave to that. So I forget the amount she said. It was over $7,000, but anyway, so... So anyway, it was a generous offering. She was very, very blessed. And so again, we thank you for that. Okay, any other business before we go? All right, if all hearts and minds are clear, stand on your feet, lift one hand to the Lord. Father, now we go in your might, your strength, and your anointing unto our King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Don't forget to keep our pastors lifted up. We'll see you right here on Wednesday for Hour of Power. We love you. Again, you ladies, happy Mother's Day.